Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you would, please. And we're going to talk about and begin to talk about a two-part message, if you will, this week and next week, Lord willing, about faith promise giving. We're going to talk about the principles and premises of such an idea. Like everything that happens here at this church, I sure hope that all these things are not traditions, but they're biblical principles. That's what I try to govern myself by, biblical principles. You can take or leave traditions, folks. You can take or leave religion. But you ought to take the Word of God and not leave it behind. It ought to be something that you guide your life by. And so all the things that we practice around here, we have a saying that all matters of faith and practice are from the Word of God. And that's what ought to be paramount in your life. Don't just say, well, that's what the preacher said, okay? That's what I've always believed, or that's what the church I went to over here said, or this is what makes sense. No, it doesn't matter if it makes sense to you. It doesn't matter who said it or whatever. What does the book have to do with it, okay? What does the Word of God have to do with those things? We ought to wash all of our ideology through the Word of God. And if it doesn't line up, let's throw it out. Well, that's what I've always believed. That's what my grandfather taught me. If it wasn't according to the Word of God or wasn't right according to the principles of the Word of God, throw it away. Get rid of it. It needs to line up with this book. I'm tired of Christians and I'm tired of churches saying, well, we've got a better way than what God says. No, you don't. Or our society has grown past that. No, it hasn't. No, just stay true to the book. Amen. Let's stand, if you will, out of love and respect for the Word of God. If you are physically able, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we're going to read verses 1 through 15. Why don't you join me out loud on the even verses? I'll read the odd verses by myself. You say, why do we do this, Pastor? Well, it's because you are a nice, even crowd, lovely crowd, and I am a very odd person. So I get to read the odd verses, and you get to read the even verses with me. All right, I'll begin in verse 1, and you can join me on verse 2 here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, and not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased, and ye burdened, but by inequality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, He that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Well, today I want to talk to you about this idea. I've been mentioning it, and you may be familiar with it already in its entirety. But this thing that we're talking about of faith promise giving, and let me just give you a little insight. The local church is God's vehicle to work with in this day and time. Everybody okay with that? All right. This is what he has chosen to work with. Us. Praise God. Amen. And so the local church is great. And the Bible is very clear. And this is not a message on the tithe. Okay. We're not going to talk so much about the tithe, because the tithe is the Lord's. That's clear in Scripture. It's 10% of our gross income. And it's not just about money. Okay. We ought to give the Lord a tithe of our treasure. That's our money, right? Our wealth, if you will, or whatever we've attained or gathered. Of our time. God deserves our time, folks. Don't just tip God of your time. Well, God, I go to church on Sunday mornings, or I go to church Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, or I go to church Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights. That's good enough, God. Hey, last time did you check how a 24-hour period of time God deserves 10%? Okay, that's almost 3 hours of your time. God deserves that. You ought to give him. Don't rob God of his time with you. He wants to be with you. He wants to meet with you. Give God his time. Amen. So time, talents, our talents, what our abilities. God has made us all different. I'm just a lot different. You're just a little different. But we all have different abilities. We have different talents. We can do different things. What are we using those for? For our own benefit or for God's benefit? You understand? So the tithing thing, God said, don't rob me of my tithe. We're supposed to bring the tithe into the storehouse. The local church is the storehouse for that tithe. And guess what that tithe is for? The financial part of it. It's for the so that you can have, I think I had the heater on this morning so you could be comfortable. Right now the lights are on, the fans are going. You have a fairly comfortable place to sit here in these pews. Amen. It's a nice bright facility. We can decorate it. We can have nice things. We can have songbooks. We can have Bibles in the pews. We can do lots of different things as far as the local church and what we're able to do in this community. Okay, that's what the tithes and offering or the tithes are for. In that. Now, when we get into the area of offerings, that's over and above the tithe. So when we say, okay, we're going to give to world missions, that's the God's program of reaching the world outside of the local church. Okay, so where does that money come from? Well, you know, some churches or some denominations or some groups, they budget that out of the tithes that come in from the church budget. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong. But the church is supposed to have a function here, right? And world missions is supposed to have a function in which the church participates in. So that's why we participate in something called faith promise giving. So the funds that come to support those 60 missionaries that are back there on the wall, you can see them, their prayer letters there, don't come from the church budget. It doesn't come from the tithes that come into the local church. It comes from the offerings over and above the tithes. It's called faith promise giving. You see here the church in Macedonia, they did not do as the apostles thought. They did more. They gave of themselves, and they gave out of their poverty. You see how Paul describes that they were willing. It says in verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. You see, this idea of faith promise giving goes beyond what's required. Going beyond what God, if you will, expects from us. I'm thankful that my mom and dad taught us to tithe and to be faithful to the Lord. We encourage our children, if they get presents or money gifts and things from their birthdays, that they they give an offering and they give a tithe, as soon as possible after they receive it. That's just a principle to live by, folks. And can I tell you something? I have never suffered without because of giving my tithe. I've heard a lot of people say, well, I can't afford to tithe. Well, let me be the pastor that tells you, you can't afford not to tithe. You can't. Don't rob God. And don't rob yourself of the blessing that comes with it. Now, again, I said we're not going to talk about that today in general, but we're going to mention it as we go along because we're talking about, well, all right, pastor, I've got this 10% that I'm giving to the church, so 8% is going to go to the church operating to where we can pay for the light bill and we can pay for the air conditioning and we can pay for the improvements around the church. And then 2% I'll allocate to give to world missions. Well, that's not what we're talking about today. That's not the idea of this. This is over and above that 10% that God requires of us as a good steward. So, as we look at what Paul says, I hope you get the sense in these 15 verses that we read, how the Macedonians, they didn't do this on a whim. They did this by faith. By faith. That's why it's called faith promise giving. Look at verse 7. It says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith. Paul says that this comes from an abundance of faith. As we grow in faith, God is going to grow us. You understand that? What is the substance of everything that we have that we hope for? Faith. Faith is the what? Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And you can go through Hebrews 11 and you can see by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, can't you? In verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, that's faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen, which were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This thing of faith promise and faith promise giving is a test. It's a test of our faith. You know, I can go through and tell you many scriptures. I'll just give you a couple of them. Did you know that God owns everything? We sing the little song, right? God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the wealth in every mine. He owns the rivers and the rocks and rills, the sun and stars that shine. He owns everything. God is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that owns everything. He's the one that has all and possesses all. And we've got to understand that God is in control. Are we willing by faith to tap into that supply? Let me ask you a question. Do you think that God wants world missions to exist and flourish? I do. And since God has chosen the local church to be his vehicle for his purpose during this time of history and of life, then who would he use or what would he use to supply those things that are necessary to preach the gospel to every creature? The local church. And who makes up the local church? We do. We do. God's very clear that it takes faith. In Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for faithful is he that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much more sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days, in which ye, after ye were illuminated, ye endured great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by the reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions in them which were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience. After that ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You see, it's about our relationship with God. It's about our faith in God and what he can accomplish. And can I tell you something? God will not be a debtor to any man. You've heard it said before, you can't outgive God. You can't. If you give to God by faith, you think God's going to let that just fizzle out and die? No, he's not going to let it fizzle out and die. God is going to be faithful, because that's all God knows how to be, is faithful. The problem is we lack in faith. Remember what Jesus said. He said, hey, look, guys, he's talking to his disciples. He said, your faith is terrible. I preached a message. I don't know. It's probably been about a year and a half, maybe 2 years. I don't know. It was one of the first several messages I preached. I talked about the faith. At least faith was withering faith, working faith. I can't remember the other one. Okay, maybe I thought somebody remembered. That'd be really great. I'd give you a prize for that. I'll think of it. I don't know, whatever it is. Now it's going to bug me. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I need to get past it. Forget that rabbit. Chase a different one. but he said very many times to his disciples, you have no faith. These are the people that have trusted him as Savior. These are the people that he called out to follow him and be fishers of men. He said, hey, you've got no faith. And many times he said to them, oh, ye of little faith. Well, where are we in our lives when it comes to the faith that we have in God? Shall God supply all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus or not? Is God going to take care of you? Is God going to do what he said in Matthew chapter 6 and how we're not supposed to think on these things, but we're supposed to seek first the kingdom of God. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hey folks, listen. We know the biblical principle that says the love of money is the root of all evil. We know the principle. We talked about it just recently. That this word treasure. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. We understand these principles. But how much do we hold on to them? James says that faith without works is dead. Being alone. Are we willing to open up our pocketbooks and try what God has for us? No faith says no. I need this money. I can't afford to invest in the things of God. That's no faith, folks. No faith. Little faith. I don't know why I have all this money in here. It's because I've been hiding my wallet from my wife. Little faith. She hates it when I do that. Look at her. Look at her. Look at me. Little faith. Lord, increase our faith. These are principles. You say, well, I need this dollar to. I don't even know if you can get anything for a dollar anymore. Can you? Not really. Okay, increase our faith. Ooh, man, preacher's rich today. Much faith. Increase our faith. See, I need this $50. It's going to go toward paying the rent. It's going to go toward buying groceries for my family. It's going to go toward these medical costs and these medicines that I need. But what are we willing to give to the Lord? The people in Macedonia gave out of their poverty. I can't even believe I have this in here. Any takers? Carson, see me after church, right? I'll give you the dollar. he's like, okay. No, I mean, come on. We hold on to this stuff way too tightly. It's a great tool. Terrible master. Do you really believe that God can care for you? Do you really believe that He can supply all your needs? The people in Macedonia, in our text that we read today, they understood. They gave of themselves first. You say, well, they were reckless. They were careless. They didn't take care of their families and take care of their loved ones. How do you know? I mean, the picture that we have of the early church, when people were getting saved and baptized all over the place and joining the church, they started selling their lands and they started sharing everything with one another. They didn't give any regard for their own benefit. They didn't say, well, what about my retirement or what about this or what about that? They began selling all. And having things all come. These people in Macedonia, the people in Jerusalem were starving. There was a famine and they were poor. But yet they wanted to give an offering to help those dear Christians in Jerusalem. There are people dying across the world without Christ. What are we doing to help them? What are we allowing God to do in and through our lives to help them? You say, well, what part is it of mine? A big part. We've already established that. It's our responsibility. Faith is simply the belief or assent of the mind to the truth of what is declared by another. It is resting on the authority and veracity of that truth without any other evidence. It is the judgment that what another states or testifies is the truth. That's faith. God says, preach the gospel to every creature. God says, bring your tithes into the storehouse. God says, over and above our tithes, give offerings. You see, where's that found? All throughout the Bible, including the text that we read here today. God says that He wants us to participate. He says we need to be a channel of blessing, not a dead sea. We're not supposed to gather to ourselves and just keep for us, keep for us, keep for us, keep for us, keep for us. We need to give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. You understand that this is a principle. And it's all having to do with faith. How much do we believe God that if He's allowed us to manage $151, that I could give God one and live off the 150? Or I could give God the 50 and live off 101. You say, whoa, Pastor, watch out. That's more than 10%. Or I could give God the 100 and live off of 51. Or I could just give back to God all of it. How would you live? By faith. I just want to kind of point out to us how tainted our thinking is. We think we need this stuff. We've been told we need this stuff. But what do we need more than this? We need God. We need our faith in God. Our trust in God. That if I didn't have this, He'd still take care of me. He'd still supply my needs. He'd still be able to work His will and purpose in my life if I didn't have this. You understand that we have to decide how great our faith is going to be. How much are we going to trust Him? Is it going to be a grain of a mustard seed? Because if it is, God says we can do great things. We can move mountains. You say, no, I couldn't do that. Then your faith is not even as big as a mustard seed. You know, I couldn't make it on $100. I couldn't make it on $50. I couldn't just make it on $1. I need more than that. Don't you think God knows that? I think God does know that. Paul says in verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Folks, this offering, giving of your offerings, faith promise giving is not a commandment. As it says on the card, this is not a pledge to the church. And I'm not gonna take this card and keep it in my office. And when you don't give your promise to God, then I'm gonna come knocking on your door and say, you owe God this much money. It's not how it works. It's by faith and it's by a promise to God. That's why it's called faith promise giving. We give by faith. I told you a little bit of my testimony. I wasn't part of an independent Baptist church all of my life. Thankfully, God took my own choices and directed them according to His will. Hallelujah for that. Because I did not seek God's face when making decisions as a young man. Oh, how it would have been better if I would have. But God in his providence, decided to order my path and swing me right by a place where there's a good old-fashioned Bible-preaching independent Baptist preacher that was a missionary to the military, and I finally understood what church was all about. And I joined that church, and I got baptized, and I joined that church, and shortly thereafter, I got called to preach. And I went through, and I was first introduced to this idea of faith promise giving, and I knew that I was supposed to give of tithes to the Lord, and I was glad I was taught that way and not brought up that way. But I had no idea what it meant to give God above that, which I was able. Isn't that what it says here about the Macedonians? They gave above what they were able to give. They gave more than they were able to give. They went beyond their power. They were willing of themselves. And as I got into Bible college and began to learn some things, the church there participated in faith promise giving. And I kid you not, I don't think I have it anywhere, but I don't know if there's any. I remember getting that card for the first time. I'm in Bible college. I have bills to pay, things like that to take care of. And I was giving my tithes, and I thought, okay, what can I give above? And I think I put down either a quarter or 50 cents. I can't remember now. It's been so many years. But that was my commitment on a weekly basis. See, Pastor, that's pathetic. You've heard the joke, I'm sure. This little boy's got his BB gun. And he's aiming up in the sky at the moon. And he's going... And his older man comes up to him and says, "Son, what are you doing?" He goes, "Shooting at the moon." He goes, "You know, son, you're never going to hit the moon." Little boy says, "Getting closer than you are." It may not seem like much, but are you in an attitude and a mindset for the Lord to increase your faith? Over in Romans chapter 4, the Bible says, "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath where no law is. There is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that might be by grace. To the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him who he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, but when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform." Is God able or is he not able? Could we all agree that God wants to do more with us than we're willing to let him do? Think about it. Isn't that true? Do you think that God wants to do more for you? Do you think that he wants to do more in your life? But here's the thing. If God gives you $151 to manage, and all you give back to him is a dollar, what's he going to do with you? Is he going to give you more? Is he going to give you $1,000 to work with? But if he gives you $151 and you give him $50, how's he going to feel about that? Better. If God gives you $151 to work with and you give him $100, how's he going to feel about that? You see how this works? To whom much is given, much is required. And as we ask God to increase our faith, how far are we willing to step out on a limb? That's what faith promise giving is all about. I'm thankful that over the years, God has allowed me to understand this principle. And to year by year, and moment by moment, and time by time, I've been able to let go of more things and give that to God. And I'll tell you this, by my own personal testimony, God has been faithful. God has not let me down one time. And I'm not here to brag on myself. I'm just saying that over the years, I've been able to increase my faith. I've been able to increase the giving part of my life to the Lord. Not just in finances, but in a lot of other areas. Can I say that I'm thankful that I'm able to give my talents to the Lord? I love to sing. It may or may not have been a blessing to you today, us singing. But you know what? I didn't do it for you. I did it for the Lord. He's given me an ability to preach. I want to use that for Him. He's given me the ability to minister and talk to people and be a friend to people. I love people. And I hope that's been a blessing to them. But again, I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for the Lord. This is just a tool, folks. Don't get attached to this stuff. It'll let you down every time. I promise that. Learn to give, and it shall be given unto you. Learn to have faith in God, not faith in the money. You know, even the money says, in God we trust. Yeah. But we hold on to this stuff and we say in our hearts, in the almighty dollar we trust. Because we think that's what makes the world go around. God makes the world go around, folks. We need to trust in Him. So when we talk about faith promise giving, it has to do with faith. How much do we believe God? How much are we trusting Him for our daily bread? How much are we invested in His work, in His purpose, in His desires? Are they just ours or are they His? Is this ours or is it His? It has to do with faith. It has to do with trusting God. We need to trust God. As we think about our part, can we say, when we look at a card like this, God, I trust You. I'm not asking you to get out your pocketbook and look over your budget for the year and see how much of it you can fit God into. I'm asking you to, by faith, give. As what the Bible says, how in that great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. That's faith, folks. And that's the beginning of this idea of faith promise giving. And really, it's the beginning of our lives as Christians. Are we going to live by faith? The Bible says the just shall live by faith. I think many times we rely on our carnal nature, that natural man, to get us through. instead of the spiritual to get us through. Oh, some of us have the ability to budget and to manage money extremely well. Are you trusting that to get you through? Or are you trusting God to get you through? We got to kind of reevaluate where we are in our faith. Are we no faith? Little faith? Much faith? Or great faith? Where are we at in our lives? God wants to know.